SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Leaders of the world's most powerful democracies have come together at the G7 summit in Hiroshima, Japan. Sharply in focus is former member Russia and its war with Ukraine. Among discussions was further U.S. military help to Ukraine as the war there nears its 16th month. United States President Joe Biden told G7 allies that he will approve plans to train Ukrainian pilots on American-made F-16s. The supersonic jet fighters have the latest weapon systems and modern radar technology. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the support is strategic.
We've reached a moment where it is time to look down the road and to say, what is Ukraine going to need as part of a future force to be able to deter and defend against Russian aggression as we go forward? F-16's fourth generation fighter aircraft are part of that mix. The obvious first step there is to do the training and then to work with allies and partners and the Ukrainians to determine how to do the actual provision of planes as we move forward.
The move marks a major policy shift for Biden administration. The U.S. government was previously reluctant to providing further military aid, fearing that could provoke an unpredictable escalation of the war. For Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, the announcement is a wish fulfilled. He's reacted on Twitter saying the F-16s will greatly enhance Ukraine's army in the sky, even though it will take months to train the country's pilots. Fresh from his trip to Saudi Arabia, where he sought the support of the Arab League, the Ukrainian president has now landed in Hiroshima, aboard a French government plane. The leader hopes that his presence will draw even more support for Ukraine from those attending the G7 talks. Meanwhile, Anthony Albanese has met with Joe Biden on the sidelines of the summit. The bilateral meeting comes after the U.S. president pulled out of his scheduled trip to Australia, where a meeting of the Quad leaders was meant to be held. That meeting with the U.S., Australia, India, and Japan will now happen on the sidelines of the G7 talks. President Biden has apologized to Mr. Albanese.
Mr. Prime Minister, it's wonderful to see you. I'm sorry this meeting is not taking place in your country, Australia, and I deeply appreciate the flexibility in meeting me here at the G7 meeting. And it's because we've got a lot to discuss. Together, we've delivered historic year to both of us, and it's between our allegiance, between Australia and the United States.
To which Mr. Albanese replied,
I'm saddened that you are unable to come down next week, but I understand the circumstances that you're dealing with, and I would have done exactly the same thing. All politics is local, as you and I both understand, and I look forward at some time in the future to you visiting. You would always be a very welcome visitor in Australia, as you have been in the past as Vice President. And I'm very much looking forward to the state visit as well, as is Jody. We're really looking forward to visiting DC and to continuing to build on the relationship that just goes from strength to strength.
The two leaders used the meeting to sign an agreement to advance climate and clean energy action between Australia and the United States. The new Climate, Critical Minerals and Clean Energy Transformation Compact aims to deepen cooperation on the transition to net zero emissions. Mr. Biden says it's an important step for the two countries.
And we're launching a new joint initiative to accelerate a transition to clean energy, including by building more resilient critical mineral supply chains. This is a huge step from our perspective, a huge step forward in our fight against the climate crisis. And I want to thank you for your strong leadership and your partnership in this challenge. I'm looking forward to our conversation today and hosting you for an official state visit this year in Washington, D.C.
China was also on the agenda for day two of the summit. The G7 leaders want to reduce risks from China while preserving economic ties. A joint statement includes responding to what officials have called China's action of economic coercion, such as trade barriers imposed on Australian products in 2019. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says world leaders at the summit are aiming to develop a common set of tools in their approach to China.
The communique will note that each country has its own independent relationship and approach, but we are united and aligned around a set of common elements, and it will walk through those elements. And it will indicate that we do seek to cooperate with China on matters of mutual interest. President Biden has said, as I have said, as others have said, and, you know, to borrow a phrase from the European Union itself, looking to de-risk, not decouple from China.
China has voiced concern the summit would turn into a political show against Beijing. China's Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesman Wang Wenbin says the countries should consider what China actually brings to the table.
What China brings to the world are opportunities, not challenges, a stability, not turbulence, a insurance, not risks. The world cannot be decoupled and does not need de-risking with China as the target.
Adriana Weinstock, SBS News.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organization a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.